Kyle brought us a good lesson on hindsight as 2020. I thought maybe I would bring us a lesson on looking forward, things that we look forward to. And this song, Higher Ground, came to mind. The text for our lesson this morning is found in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 14. It's also up on the board. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul expressing this idea of looking ahead. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Some translations have a little bit different meaning there, a little bit different wording. But this song, Higher Ground, is taken from the context there, the upward call. That is, we're being called to accomplish more, to a higher state, if you will, of spiritual being than that of the world or that of human mindset. Christ is calling us to come to Him and His line of thinking, and that this should be our goal. Paul points out we should be pressing on to that prize, to the upward call. We should be looking forward. We should be always thinking in these terms. I wanted to take just a couple of moments here and talk a little bit about the history of this song and the author. And then I will spend the rest of our time this morning talking about the spiritual application of the song and going through scriptures that the song discusses. This is a hymn which encourages us to press on to what the New King James Version calls the upward call or higher ground. The text was written originally by Johnson Oatman. He lived from 1856 to 1922. Probably the most famous song penned by Johnson Oatman was a song called Count Your Blessings. And oftentimes I think we've sung that song here. The Higher Ground tune was composed by Charles Hutchinson. That is the tune, the music, if you will, was penned or composed by Charles Hutchinson Gabriel, who lived in a similar time, 1856 to 1932. In addition, Charles Hutchinson Gabriel also produced gospel songs, both words and music, such as Oh, That Will Be Glory. Perhaps you've heard of that song. According to Gabriel's own account, Higher Ground was finished in about 1892. He sold it for $5 to a Philadelphia, PA songbook compiler, J. Howard Entwistle. It was then first published in the 1898 Songs of Love and Praise, number 5, which Entwistle compiled with John R. Sweeney and Frank M. Davis. Many of Gabriel's songs came into common usage among the Churches of Christ when he helped T.B. Larimore edit the New Christian Hymnbook in 1907 for the Gospel Advocate. Among hymn books published by members of the church during the 20th century for use in Churches of Christ, this song, Higher Ground, appeared in various hymn books between 1907 and 1990. And finally, in our songbook, Songs of Faith and Praise, published in 1994, number 539, which Roger just sung for us, edited by Alton H. Howard. And that concludes the history, the brief synopsis of this song, which gives us several reasons why we should seek a higher plane or a higher calling. In the first stanza, one suggests that we are on the upward way. The text there in the first stanza says, I am pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The upward way is the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, referred to in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In that verse, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, which is also up on the board, it says, Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. this song is calling us to look for that narrow way. And it says there in Scripture that there are few there are that find it. To travel this upward way, we must work to gain new heights every day as we go on and press toward perfection, that is, being complete in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on or press on to maturity," talking about spiritual maturity, "not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God." The Bible calls on us. The Bible requests of us to press on to maturity, leaving behind the elementary principles and growing up in Christ, in knowledge, in thought, and as Christians, how we conduct our lives every day. Not dwelling in the principles of Christ Jesus, not laying again that foundation, but pressing on toward maturity, the meat of the Word. Oftentimes, I'm quite impressed with the knowledge of this group at Waynesville, of the Scripture and the depth of discussion that we get into in our Bible classes. It is amazing. But it shows the depths and the riches of the Scripture. It shows the depths and the wisdom that Kyle referred to in his lesson. The wisdom of God revealed in Scripture is deep. And God wants us to not only learn those riches and not only gain that wisdom, but to think as God would have us to think in His wisdom. And to help us to this goal, we should keep on praying. And the Bible again and again and again reminds us we should do all of these things in prayer and in supplication. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God makes a promise. If we will pray, if we will make our supplications, our wishes, our needs, if we make those known to Him in prayer, He promises every request will be answered, and that His peace will guard us, will guard our hearts. We won't be anxious for the things of this world. We won't be threatened or fear those who can kill our body. But instead, we will cling to the One who can save our soul, and He will guard our hearts. God promises us He will guard our hearts and in our minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise God makes to us. The second stanza, stanza 2, suggests that we are no longer of the world. The text there in the second stanza of that song, "Higher Ground," "My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground." Our heart should have no desire to stay a part of this world. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 expresses this thought very clearly. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul there in Romans 12 makes this appeal that we present our bodies, our spiritual bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy, that is set apart, that is pure in thought and in deed, and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. We are not to be conformed to this world. We can't think like the world does. We can't adhere to or cling to the things of this world. Instead, we must renew our minds. We must put out the thoughts and the wisdom of this world, which will perish. And instead, we must arm ourselves with the knowledge of Scripture and be able to discern what the will of God is in our lives, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to determine what is good in our lives, what God has determined and purposed for us to do in this walk of life. Stanza 2, because this world is a place where doubts arise and fears dismay, we should keep ourselves unspotted from this world. James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. James chapter 4, verse 4 adds this. James 4, verse 4 says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We don't want to cling to this world where doubts arise and fears dismay. Instead, we ought to put our trust in God. Instead, we ought to make our lives a part of Christ Jesus. Make our lives right with Him first. Dwelling in Scripture, meditating on it day and night, understanding that he who perseveres in the Word, he who withstands the temptations of this world, he who puts up with the fears and the dismay of those around him or her, but instead clings to life, clings to Jesus Christ and His teaching, God promises us we will be blessed in everything that we do. Even to the point of death, God will still bless us and take us up to heaven. Even though some may dwell where these abound, our aim should be not to love the world nor the things in this world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Most of us could probably quote this verse by memory. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with all its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Our love, our thoughts dwell on Christ. Those who love the world, those who love the things in this world, just won't abide, just won't be with God in the end. The third stanza of Higher Ground, stanza 3, suggests that we are fighting the devil. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Again, we should strive to live above this world because it is the realm where Satan is in control. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 adds this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you were once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. You see, we were once of the world. We were once following Satan. We were once giving in to the passions of the flesh and the desires of the mind. But no longer are we in that state. We are to be walking above the world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We don't give in to these passions and these desires. We don't give in like the sons of disobedience that are all around us and we see permeate this world. Of course, as we seek to live above the world, Satan will try to bring us back down to his level by hurling his fiery darts at us, those temptations, those things that he tries to ensnare us with. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Ephesians chapter 6, a lot of us can quote this entire chapter. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day." Sounds familiar. "And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, and in all circumstances taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Paul so vividly wrote there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, how we as Christians are to resist the flaming fiery darts of the devil, temptation, evil snares, things the devil tries to entrap us as Christians. Only our faith, only the gospel, only our breastplate of righteousness can protect us from these things. In the third stanza, we're reminded, but a faith that which catches the joyful sound of salvation will help us to resist him. We already read in James 4, verse 4, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." You know, we see and observe those who are Christians, and we understand that they are persecuted throughout the world. We hear of suffering and persecution that they endure. The Bible is full of examples of Christians who suffered persecution and even death at the hands of the evil ones. Those who would persecute Christ, those who would persecute Paul and Peter and many others. And even up until this day, there are those in this room, I'm sure many of you have suffered some form of persecution, some form of being made fun of, or some form of people trying to pull you down from being a Christian. Knowing that we surround ourselves with other Christians that encourage us, edify us, and help us through difficult times of sickness and sorrow and pain and disease and sin. Our fellow Christians help us in the time that we need it the most. And it's such a joyful sound to hear one brother or one sister helping another. It's such a joyful sound when someone obeys the gospel. It's such a joyful thing to know that we are saved in Christ Jesus, and that we are all here helping one another to get to heaven. The fourth stanza suggests that we are hoping for heaven. The text there in Higher Ground says, "I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground." Our goal in this life is that someday we will scale that utmost height, which will take us home to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says it this way, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7 adds this: For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. While we are here in this earthly body, we groan. You think about age. As you get older, your body is going to waste away. This earthly tent is going to perish. Our earthly bodies someday will break down, and we will, like all others before us that Kyle talked about over in that graveyard, all of us will die. All of us, our spirit will return back to God who gave it, and our bodies will decay and return back to the dust of this earth. But we must be of good courage. We don't worry about the decay of our flesh. We don't worry about the decay of our physical body. We don't worry about the sickness and disease and the pain and the things that we suffer in this age, because we are of good courage. We look forward to a spiritual home prepared for us by our eternal Father up in heaven. Now that's a home I can look forward to. A lot of us will go home this afternoon to our earthly home. And true, it's warm and it's filled with food and good memories. But I'll tell you what, there's a home that's prepared for you up in heaven by God your Father, who loves you and has prepared a place especially just for you as a Christian. Now that's a kind of home I really look forward to. That's a home that I really aspire to go to, that higher ground, that is heaven after a while. What a blessed thought that is, that God has prepared a place for each and one, every one of you as Christians. And what hope that fills us with, what courage that gives us to endure this life. But then we shall catch a gleam of glory bright in that inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. We catch just a gleam, just a glimmer of heaven and what it's like in the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Think about Jesus Christ's resurrection. Think about what a glimmer of hope that you will be resurrected after you give up this earthly body, after your soul goes back to heaven. God will restore you a spiritual body. He will give to you a body that will last for eternity, that will not die, that will not get disease, that will not suffer loss of loved ones, that will not suffer the things of this earth. Instead, your spiritual body will be incorruptible, it will be undefiled, and it will never fade away. That's a spiritual body, a spiritual home that I look forward to. It is one that God has prepared for us and will reward us just like he did Jesus Christ. We all read about the scriptures about Jesus being resurrected and we think, what a wonderful thing that that is. We as Christians have a taste of that when we are born again of the water and the Spirit. John chapter 3 verse 5, Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. However, until then, we must simply keep on running the race with our eyes on Jesus, looking upward to him to help us continue on to higher ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about the runners that run a race. They receive an earthly prize, one that's temporal. And every athlete exercises self-control, and they do it to receive that perishable wreath. But we run the race of this life for an imperishable wreath. We don't run aimlessly, we run with purpose in mind. Paul continues there, I do not box as one beating the air. There's a purpose why we run this race on this earth. We have purpose in our life. We have that example of Jesus Christ who's calling us to heaven, who showed us the way, who was that perfect example. Paul continues, I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching others, I myself should be disqualified. Take care of your spiritual body. Read your scripture. Pray without ceasing. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what Jesus wants you to do, to keep running this race and keep self-control and keeping your body under discipline so you don't lose that imperishable crown, so you don't lose the hope of eternal glory in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us, since there's so great a cloud of witnesses, since there's so many people in the Bible, since there are so many Christians around us, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, everything in this life, give it up. It is not worth it. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, putting Jesus, the author and founder and perfecter of our faith and our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured that cross. For the joy that's set before you, all you're asked to do is endure this life as a Christian, giving up sin, not giving in to temptation. Jesus was set on the right hand of God. We also can reign with Christ on this earth. Finally, the chorus, an appeal to God. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's an appeal to God, and it's God's appeal to us that by faith he will set us in a higher plane than where we were before in the world. You see, we once were in the world. We once gave in to sin. We once were sons of disobedience. But now, through the blood of Christ Jesus, we are put on a completely different plane, a completely different narrow way that leads to heaven. That's the state that we all want to be in. Indeed, the sense of being transformed or different from this world, we surely should want to live on higher ground. Don't you desire to live in the very best place? Don't you desire and long for heaven itself? The cares and the trifles of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory of an eternal life in heaven, where time does not end, where sickness and death are done away, and sin itself is put to rest and overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. We see all around us sickness and death and dying. We see all around us sin and wickedness and disobedience. How about going to a place where none of that stuff exists? And it is so far out of memory that none of us will remember it. That sounds like a place I want to go. And I want to bring all of you, and I hope all of you want to bring me with you to heaven. I appreciate your time this morning. I hope this lesson on higher ground has been a blessing to you. I've talked very briefly about what it takes to become a Christian. John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said it as plain as it could be. Unless you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, he was talking about baptism. If you're not a Christian, you can be baptized this morning. You can be baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And you can be raised in newness of life. You can be resurrected in that old man of sin to be crucified with Jesus in that water, in that death. And you can walk a new life, putting on Christ to live with him for all eternity. If you are a Christian, you have sin in your life. If you need to make confession of your sin, we can pray with you and pray for you this morning. If it's a sin of a private nature, I encourage you to pray to God for forgiveness. If you are in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing.